The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk about in long robes, to be greeted obsequiously in the market squares, to take the front seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. These are the men who swallow the property of widows while making a show of lengthy prayers. The more severe will be the sentence they receive." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the treasury, and many of the rich put in a great deal. A poor widow came and put in two small coins, the equivalent of a penny. Then he called his disciples to him and said to them, "I tell you solemnly, this poor widow has put more in than all who have contributed to the treasury. For they have put in the money they had over. But she, from the little she had, has put in everything she possessed, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Hate multiplies hate, violence multiplies violence, and toughness multiplies toughness. Words of Martin Luther King. And to be set free, you have to let go of hate. Earlier this year, the former chief rabbi that many of you will have heard of on Thought for the Day on Radio 4, Jonathan Sacks, published a very profound book. It's quite a long book. If I seem to be reading more today than normally, it's because I'm using a lot of his words. And he opens his book with a quote from Blaise Pascal, who was a philosopher and French theologian in the 17th century. "Men never do evil so completely, as cheerfully, as when they do it from religious conviction." And Sacks brings out the point that when religion turns men into murderers, God weeps. That's what Genesis tells us. Having made human beings in his image, God sees the first man and the first woman disobey the first command, and the first human child commit the first murder as Cain murders his brother Abel. And then Genesis says, within a short time, the world was filled with violence. And God saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become, and it says, God regretted that he had made man in his image, and his heart was filled with pain. I think many people today, many of our contemporaries, people you talk to, people at work, people among friends, people in your own families, will say they've no time for religion because religion is only a cause of war and violence. And sadly, too often in history, people are, and have been, and still are today, killing in the name of religion, hatred in the name of a God of love, and practice cruelty and torture in the name of the God of compassion. And Sacks says, when this happens, God speaks, sometimes in a still, small voice, almost inaudible, beneath the clamour of those claiming to speak on his behalf. And what he says is, "Not in my name." That's the book that Jonathan Sacks has written, nearly 300 pages, but "Not in God's Name, Confronting Religious Violence." And the whole book goes into a great detail and some discussion, particularly of Genesis, where you get sibling rivalry that he says is still with us now. From the beginning, it was almost inbuilt there, all the way through. And it's particularly strong between the three great faiths that trace back to Abraham, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Because we all claim Abraham, our father, in faith. In Eucharistic Prayer 1, the Roman Canon, it's quite clear there, Abraham, our father in faith. That's been there in the canon for centuries. And religion leads to violence when it consecrates hate. You can't create a free society on the basis of hate. So that resentment, rage, humiliation, a sense of victimhood, injustice, the desire to restore honor by inflicting injury on your persecutor, sentiments communicated in our time by the endless stream of videos of beheadings, mass murder, and war that abounds today. And what Moses taught his people was this: you must live with the past, but not in the past. You can't live in the past. God is actually God of now. When Moses asked, "Who you say I am?" "I am God, ever present." Then the past, yes, indeed, now in the present, in the future, but God, ever present. And Sachs goes on, those who are held captive by anger against their former persecutors are still held captive. Those who let their enemies define who they are have not yet achieved liberty. And Sachs goes into quite fair detail about how he learnt so much from Holocaust survivors. He was born just after the end of the Second World War in about 1948 or 9. But of course, so he knew many of the survivors because of that. And he said how they lived with their memories, knowing what they knew and what they saw. But he said their fundamental message was not about the past, but it was about freedom and the future. Never take freedom for granted. Work for it, fight for it, stand up for it, even for minorities, and never give way to hate, even when others do. Above all, he says, never seek revenge. Because don't believe that you can rectify the past with vengeance. "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. And he brings that out and speaks. That's the belief that God will avenge wrongs, which spares human beings of having to do so. Very profound truth there. "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. We're spared that because the Lord will sort it out. And he goes on, killing your enemy doesn't bring your friend back to life. Yes, we do what we can to right past wrongs, apologize, atone, acknowledge people's sense of suffering and grievance. And that's why we've got all the refugees and migrants at the moment. But the rest, he says, leave to God. But near the end of the book, he then says, can the world be changed? And he says, yes, it can. And the proof is one of the most uplifting stories in the history of religious humanity. The changed relationship between the Jews and the Christians after the Holocaust. And he says, here there are many heroes, but among them a special place has to go to the most recent series of popes. St. John the 23rd, often many of us remember good Pope John, who called the council, who wrote that encyclical Peace on Earth, Pacem in Terris. And leading through Vatican II to Blessed Paul VI, who joined the council that he continued gave us 50 years ago, a fortnight ago, Nostra Aetate, which is the relationships Christians have with other religion. That was continued, as you probably know, with St. John Paul II, who'd had Jewish friends from Krakow and Poland in the time, of course, all the wartime, and Benedict XVI, each in their own ways, have continued that. And he pays great tribute to them. And when the Pope Benedict came to our country, and Jonathan Sacks was then the chief rabbi, he was the one chosen by the other religions to present the address to Pope Benedict. He's a great person. But he takes it further because he says, even greater than these is Pope Francis. So you can tell it's a recent book. Because he said, in September 2013, he wrote these words, God's fidelity to the close covenant with Israel never failed. And through the terrible trials of the centuries, the Jews have kept their faith in God. And so the church in the West has begun to overcome its sibling rivalry. All the way through the book, the sibling rivalry from Genesis. And Sacks says, if this can happen between Christians and Jews, it's got to happen between Islam or the three together. And he also says, the three must stand together today in defense of humanity, the sanctity of life, religious freedom, and the honor of God himself. Because the real clash in the 21st century will not be between civilizations or religions, but within them. And he says, for the sake of humanity and the free world, the time has come for people of all faiths and none to stand together and declare, not in God's name. But he said, how can we do it? There must be an international campaign against the teaching and preaching of hate. Most Western countries have anti-racist legislation, but he claims it's proved virtually powerless against the vitriol spread through the social media. If children continue to be taught to hate, then it only grows and gets worse. And the only way is change of heart from hate to love, to respect, to mercy. Because no soul was ever saved by hate. No truth was ever proved by violence. No redemption was ever won by war. For us, and indeed for all humanity, there is only one. Obviously for us, there's only one Saviour, the crucified and risen Lord, who is God himself.